their trust in.
Joy it is to welcome new members into the life of our church and to know that together we are the body of Christ and God is doing good things among us. So I wanted to, we've got kingdom growth, and growth is happening in Greyfriars and Eden and Epsom. And our message today is just going to be a little bit different because we're thinking about this wonderful growth, the things that God has been doing among us over the last 6 months. And we're sort of pausing mid-year to look at what God has done and to give him thanks for that. And I want to begin by thanking all the volunteers who contribute into the life of our church. And I know many of you are shy, but I wonder if all our volunteers, those who are active at the moment and those who have volunteered in earlier years, might stand. Could be to do with children's work or doing the lawns and the gardens. Might be helping with the morning teas. Might be setting up the chairs or putting them away or working on the sound. Or maybe you've had a part in the global light party. Maybe you're part of a care team or a mission team or the council, or maybe you have served through a growth group. There are just too many things for me to mention. So if you have served the Lord in our church in some way, maybe you've done a Bible reading up the front or taken a prayer, I invite you to stand. Now, isn't this wonderful? And I invite you to look around and see all the people in the life of our church who are active in doing things. So, let's thank them. And you can have a seat for a moment. I know that you don't serve in order to be recognized and applauded and thanked. You do it because you love the Lord and because your desire is to serve him and see his kingdom come. And while you aren't doing it for any particular reward, I do have some chocolate bars to give to you. So if you were one of those people who was standing, doing good things, and I think Diana has some down the back to pass these around, because we are ever so grateful for what you do. There's all sorts of chocolate coming around, and you might prefer one over the other. You just happen to risk, if you let one pass you by, that it might be empty if you're waiting on one of the others to come around. Oh, some little bounty bars. So let's see how they all go. Yeah, were you standing? You can have one as well. Yeah, feel free. Feel free. Just so good. Isn't the Lord good to us, giving us so many people who are so active in so many ways in the life of our church? This is such an encouragement to us. Now, currently, we're looking... Oh, you're allowed to eat those things now. Feel free to eat them. I know it's church, but just go ahead and nibble there. We're looking at parables of growth in Mark. Last week we looked at the parable of the sower. This week it's the parable of the seed. And so all of these parables are pointing towards a wonderful truth that there is growth in the kingdom of God. There is growth in the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is not the equivalent of the church. The kingdom of God is much bigger than the church. But the church is part of the kingdom of God. And so many of the things that are said about the kingdom of God, we take them and we apply them into the life of the church. And Jesus often stressed the kingdom of God is near. He said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. And when he sent out his disciples, he commanded them, as you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is near. And one sign of the kingdom of heaven being near are the wonderful things that we see in the life of our church. As we see how God is at work here, we see glimpses of how the kingdom of God is near to us. So these parables of growth in the kingdom, we can expect then from that for there to be growth in the life of the church. We have every reason for expecting that because it's spoken about so clearly in the scriptures. Saint Augustine said, check your battery. That's what he said. Check the battery. Make sure it's working before you start clicking. He said, pray as if everything depends on God, and work as if everything depends on you. Every aspect of life in the church depends on God. God is the giver of life. He's the one that enables the growth to come. But he's chosen to place some of that dynamic within our hands so that we can be involved in this. As the Apostle Paul said, I planted the seed, Apostle watered it, but God made it grow. And so we see that God gives to his people a part to play in all of these things. Today I want us to think about how this is evident in the life of Greyfriars. And so in your bulletin, you will notice that I've printed some of our highlights from the church from the beginning of the year until now. And I hope that you have enjoyed being part of many of these things and that you have seen God at work, God's hand at work in the things that have been happening. These are wonderful opportunities to acknowledge God is doing things. And of course we did that again today when we had those people standing up front and becoming members of our church with family and friends, part of the bigger church family here. It's a sign of God being at work in our midst. And we have had growth within our growth groups and at the children's holiday programs, more children taking part. We've had more people attending our barbecue church. We've seen growth in young adults attending our church. We've seen growth in people coming to the new migrants class. We've seen growth in ministries now with a team going into the prison each month. And you might consider some other things that I haven't written there. And you might remind me, and I can put them on our list for another time when we look at it. But when I look back and when I see those things, I am reminded this is God's hand at work among us. And we echo in a sense the words of Isaiah that all these good things are happening among us here at Eden and at Epsom. These good things are happening among us so that people may see and know and consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. These things are beyond our own doing. We would not have considered them had God not called us together and encouraged us as a fellowship in this place. These things that are happening are things that are beyond us, beyond our strength, beyond our wisdom. And so when we look at these things, we give glory to God. We do not boast about ourselves. We boast about what God has done. And we allow our hearts to be lifted up by that and encouraged and giving us hope that God will do even more among us. We echo the words of the Psalms that say, in God we make our boast all day long. We'll praise your name forever because God is doing good things all the time in our lives and hearts, among our families and our friends, and here among us as a church. God is doing wonderful, wonderful things. Now I want to just today take a little bit of a look behind these things and give us a little bit of an overview of how we're actually moving as a church in this direction. Now, you may not realize this, but because you may not have experienced it, some of you may have, but as a minister, sometimes I'm required to go to another church to help them in the things that they are doing, or in some cases not doing. And so I get to see churches in different ways. And some churches I've seen are just not engaged in mission at all. They have their Sunday services, but very little else actually happens. And then in some other churches, they do engage in mission, but in some ways they're like these arrows pulling the church in different directions, sometimes cutting across each other. And maybe you may have been in an experience like this where, you know, some other group cutting across what you're doing causes hardship and difficulty. And some of those things are way out on a limb and disconnected. And you know that person's a part of the church, but you wonder, what on earth are they doing out there? It's so disconnected from us in the life of our church. In most growing churches, if you go and you take a look at churches that are growing, you'll find a thriving church will almost always have a clear sense of mission and vision. And having that clear sense of mission and vision helps the church gradually, for those things that are all mixed up, pulling in different directions, to start pulling in the same direction. Mission and vision become boundaries that define the type of ministries that we have within a church. Some other churches with a slightly different mission or vision may find themselves doing different things because that's how they express what they do. And these can be like the banks of a river that give shape and direction and allow us to flow in the life of our church. So our mission, you will know, is to help people know and follow Jesus. And our vision is to be a vibrant and thriving cross-generational, cross-cultural Christian church faithfully following Jesus. And that mission and vision helps us to see and to understand the direction that God has called us to travel in together. Now I want to digress for just a moment. I was at a meeting a few months back with a minister who was new, I think, to leading churches. He had come from the corporate world. I think he was involved in advertising. And we were talking about mission and vision, and he became really hot under the collar and began to become quite agitated because he thought the church had taken on board corporate business management methods that aren't suited to the life of the church. But he was so, so wrong. In fact, it's the other way around. One of the first mission statements ever written, you'll find it in Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, where it says, God blessed them and gave them this mission. Go and be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And there are other mission statements as you look through the scriptures. One of the first vision statements was one that was given to Abraham. Now, Abraham was an older man who had no children. He and his wife had traveled in faith with God. God had called them. And of this person who didn't have any sons or daughters, God said, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. And here is a vision. Imagine Abraham, having no children, receiving a vision like this that would involve many nations covering much land and reaching out and being a blessing to the whole of the world. So mission and vision are like mother's milk to the church. They're just built in to the DNA of the Bible and what God calls us to be and to do. Mission and vision, well, if anything, 20th century business gurus are late to the party. This is what the church has known and has been doing. The other thing that helps add to this are our values and our strategy. And that gives more structure to the ministries, the events, to the projects that we have within our church. And so we know that if something is in keeping with our mission and with our vision, with our values and our strategy within that framework, that's just a tiny little box there. You've got to imagine that as being really, really wide and really, really high, because there's room for so much within this. If things are within that, then it's going to be really easy to get permission to do them in the life of our church. So some of the things that we see as being of value to us in our spiritual health as a church and as individuals: living in love, growing in faith, uniting in purpose, being devoted in worship, sharing in fellowship, proclaiming the gospel, serving with compassion. These are things that we know are part of the values that are woven in to the life of our church, and some values that were expressed long before I came to this church was that we would be Christ-centered, Bible-based, mission-oriented, and people-related. And these are values that are important in our church. Now, I'm not going to try and explain our strategy to you because that would take a bit of time. But it's all available to you in our 5-year plan. And when these things are all together, it then helps us to be a permission-giving church. And one other thing that I would add is that we're also a church of teams. So if you have got a wonderful idea for ministry, for the life of our church, and it's in keeping with these things, and also you've got a small team that you can bring some people together in this, then you're likely to have us say, yes, go out and do that as part of Greyfriars Ministries. Now, the mission life of a church isn't well represented by a rectangle. So you need to think of it a little bit more like that's a slice in our history at any given time. And our mission and our vision, our strategy and our values are allowing things to flow through. I suppose a little bit like ducting for heating, but think much, much bigger than that. And this enables the momentum of church life to build over time with our mission activities as they complement each other. And as we find this web of interconnectedness between our ministries, where a person who comes to our new migrants class might discover friendship and support in our international growth group. And another might come to the play group and be invited to the barbecue church and make friends with people who come to our Sunday services and be able to feel more at home among us because of that. While another might come to church and discover that their children really love Kids Zone and they thrive at our children's holiday programs. One of our home groups incubated the idea of the prison ministry, and then, pardon me, others joined in to be a part of that and to go into the prison once a month. Now, taken together, I really don't know how to measure how many gospel seeds have been sown in the last 6 months, as the word of God has been spoken into so many lives. But I know this: where the seeds are sown, God will work and will bring about growth. And so we read in Isaiah, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And I am confident that that is what God is doing with the seeds of the gospel that are sown in our church in so many various ways. And now, I have some wonderful news for you. None of our ministry teams is full. There is room for more. There is room for more people to come along and be a part and to join them. They all have vacancies. There are too many opportunities for me to mention, but in our children's ministries, we would just love to take our children's ministries up a notch. And I say that not in any sense of criticism for those who are doing things already, because they're doing wonderful work, but so that some others may come on board and help us to do more in the life of our church, to reach out further. And so we've got opportunities in the area of cross-cultural ministry, hospitality, our care and our mercy ministries. And two things we don't have at the moment that I would dearly like to see us develop is a ministry with intermediate age children and a ministry with our seniors. And I don't know what shape or what sort of focus either of those might take, but I know it would just be so wonderful to be ministering in those age groups. And so we need people who will strengthen our existing ministries and people who will come alongside and begin to start some new ministries. Because, you see, we've got 20 children, 25 children at our kids zone at the moment. We would love that to be 50. But it's not going to reach 50 if we don't have the teachers who are there to be able to enable it to happen. And similarly with other ministries that we have. These are not jobs, they're not duties, they're not tasks. They're ministries of sowing seeds and watering and tending spiritual plants while God gives the growth. For the Apostle Paul wrote, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And God has prepared them for us in advance." So God has created us to do good. He has prepared good for us to do. And he expects us to do it. This is a wonderful privilege and a great joy that God has a purpose and a plan for us. And we can be part of that. We can enjoy what it means to walk with God hand in hand and sowing the seeds and seeing the growth. All we have to do is clock on and start working. I mentioned last week the parable of the vineyard, where the landowner went out early in the morning and hired laborers to work in the vineyard. And then he went out again at the third hour, and then at the sixth hour, and then at the ninth hour. And even at the 11th hour, he went back out to the marketplace, saw some people hanging around, and said, "You go also and work in this vineyard." And his question to those who were not working in his vineyard was, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? There's work to be done. I've been hiring people all day. My vineyard, it's got an abundance of harvest. Why are you standing here doing nothing?" God expects us to be involved in his work. We have the privilege of being his co-workers. He's created us for this. He's prepared good work for us to do. He expects us to be involved and play our part. Now, earlier in the service, we acknowledged our volunteers, and we just so appreciate what so many of you are doing, faithfully serving the Lord. And we've got many older people in our church as well who have served in the life of the church in previous years, but they can no longer do what they once did. And we still appreciate your years of faithful service. And now we look to others. Those who are seeking a way to serve. You're getting to know the ministries of our church. You know what things are around. You know what your gifts are. You know how you could fit in with your experience. And if you're unsure, just ask. Just ask. Last week I mentioned Jesus' prayer. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And I want to challenge you to take that prayer to heart this week. So let's be a church that faithfully labor in the Lord's vineyard, who sow and water, who tend the plants as they grow, and who rejoice in the fruitfulness of it all as God allows it to grow. And all of this to the renown and fame and glory and honor of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.